and Massachusetts Senator Elizabeth Warren, but that could all change. The Wisconsin Examiner's Ruth Conniff commented on the significance of Iowa's results.
There's only 41 delegates in Iowa, so it's not going to be a big deal as far as the actual delegate count for the candidates, but it creates an impression that can really drive momentum.
That impression could be very mixed this year. State delegates are apportioned based on historical turnout, giving rural areas more delegates per person than bigger cities. So two candidates could declare victory based on votes or delegates. At one point in the count, Sanders led in votes and Buttigieg in state delegates.
The message that Iowa has sent to the nation, the message shared by the American people, is that we want a government that represents all of us.
Democrats hungry to win. Independent voters who had been turned off by our politics. Republicans tired of trying to look their kids in the eye and explain this presidency.
While overall 50% of Americans disapprove of his presidency, according to the latest Gallup poll, Trump's approval rating is now at his personal best, 49%. He gave the State of the Union last night while the Senate votes today on whether to remove him from office. No matter what, the candidates are moving on. Warren spoke in Keene, New Hampshire yesterday.
We've got 55 more states and territories all around this country that want their voices heard.
New Hampshire primaries are next Tuesday, Nevada Democrats caucus later this month, and after seeing what happened in Iowa, they're opting out of the app that failed in the Hawkeye state. From Pacifica Network and Public News Service, I'm Lily Bolke.
Now, we have a guest in studio with us. Welcome, Camilo Marquez, who is a volunteer with the nonprofit BARC. BARC is an Oregon watchdog organization dedicated to protecting, preserving, and transforming Mount Hood National Forest. Their work has helped shape numerous timber sales in the area while advocating for the wilderness and the public's right to access it. Thank you so much for being here.
It's a pleasure to be here.
So let's just jump right in. Speaking of timber sales in Mount Hood National Forest, BARC is working on a new 2,700-acre logging proposal, the Zigzag Timber Sale.
Working against it.
Thank you for that correction. So the public comment period is open until February 12th. So tell us, what is this timber sale and why is BARC interested in it?
Well, a timber sale, exactly as it indicates, is a sale of trees logged on public land. You know, the Mount Hood Forest has a plan, a governing plan that's established by the U.S. Forest Service. This plan is now 30 years old. It should have been revised 15 years ago. And part of the plan includes logging. Actually, logging on public land is the main purpose of the U.S. Forest Service's plans for the area. And what we are concerned about is that the plan does not take into consideration the current distress that we're facing over the ecology due to climate change. As you know, logging degrades the forest, and that results in damage to the ecology. For example, when clear cuts occur and there's a lot of rain and runoff, it goes into the streams, it creates turbidity that interferes with the salmon habitat. Logging of trees also interferes with the shade that the salmon require in order to keep the rivers cool for them. So we are very concerned about this, and it's happening in an area which has not been logged in over 20 years. And in that period of time, there's been great progress, and we have to give the U.S. Forest Service and Mount Hood credit for this, in creating significant restoration. We've seen really significant improvement in the salmon that are flowing in those streams that would be affected by this timber sale. So we're concerned that This sale does not recognize the significant value of forests in functioning as a sequestration of carbon. We're now in a period where we have to recognize the contribution of forests to dealing with climate change. And Oregon happens to be a significant contributor to the amount of sequestration that occurs. There's, I think it's one of the 10 largest areas in the Forest Service regarding the ability to sequester carbon. So we need to update the plan in order to take this into consideration and make sure that it improves the protection of water that the forest provides, and to safeguard recreation areas. The zigzag timber sale is going to occur in an area along the corridor of Route 26 where there is a lot of recreational activity, camping, biking, hiking, skiing. So we really need to ask the community that's going to be impacted by this to be aware and to get involved. And you asked about what we can do, and we have an opportunity to make comments to the U.S. Forest Service that we have significant concerns about that. Hello, Tara.
Hello.
Yeah, we're joined now also by Tara from BARC. So we got two people in studio at this point talking about zigzag timber. So I'm curious, Camilla and Tara, you can jump in too. So there's a public comment. What are you hoping to galvanize the public to do? Are you wanting people to show up and voice their support, or are there other ways that people can join you guys?
Right now, the very best way is to submit comments. The comment period is open for just a few more days. I believe it ends on the 12th. And there's a lot of easy ways to do that. If you go to the bark-out.org website, you can find sample comments that you can borrow from to construct your own comments, and also where to send them. We're encouraging people to say things like, this is a big recreation area. We want it to be preserved for that. Or we recognize the value of carbon sequestration for these trees, and we'd like these trees to be saved for their carbon, their climate mitigation potential. So submitting comments is a really big way. We also have opportunities for people to go out to this part of the forest and ground truth, where we survey the potential areas to see if there are any reason why we need to protect a specific area.
So on BARC's website, I saw something really interesting. It says the forests are public, meaning they belong to us all, which is something I think a lot of people forget, that it's all of our responsibility. Can you both talk a little bit about that and about the Free Mount Hood campaign?
Well, there's a point that I want to make. As I said before, the rules of the Forest Service allow for timber sales. And the impact of the timber sales in terms of contribution to the economy is really minimal compared to what recreation offers. But even more significant than that is to recognize that the timber sales are fostered by the demands of the timber industry in Oregon. Oregon has a timber industry that contributes only 2% to the Oregon's GDP. However, the influence that the forest industry has is really outsized, and more to reflect the concern with climate change, the timber industry contributes the largest amount of any industry to carbon pollution in the state.
This is where the Free Mount Hood plan comes in. Free Mount Hood is a campaign that's geared towards changing the entire Mount Hood forest plan. Right now, there's a very outdated plan which gives specific purposes for all of the forest. It hasn't been updated in over 30 years, even though part of its original mandate was to be updated in 15-year increments. There's no mention of climate change right now in the management plan, and we want that to be a forefront. We want to change their priorities that reflect the current science that we have about climate change, as well as about restoration for air and watersheds, habitat. As climate change happens, there's going to need to be more and more specialized areas of habitat for all of the different animals, some of whom will be moving into this region. So the Free Mount Hood campaign is kind of a big picture thing to completely change the priorities of the forest plan itself. Instead of us continually fighting individual timber sales and other projects that come up to threaten Mount Hood National Forest, changing the whole forest management plan would help to completely change the way that these timber sales are even approached. And I believe that the Free Mount Hood campaign wouldn't be completely getting rid of all logging on public forest, but it would be significantly stepping up protections for all of the species that are there, especially protecting mature and old growth forest, protecting riparian areas, protecting recreational areas, and just making all of it reflect more the priorities of the public and to give the public more access.
Great. Well, we have about a minute left. This has gone really quickly. So zooming out, big picture, Kit, what else would you want to say about how people can get involved with BARC and mention, if you want, your ecology club and events coming up?
Well, I would go to the website, bark-out.org, and there are a number of activities that BARC is engaged in. We have the ecology club, which speaks on different topics. At a session once a month. There is the BARC About, which, as Tara mentioned, we take trips out to the area to do ground truthing and see what is happening with the ecology out there. And we would really like people to join our project to create this campaign to have an impact. What I think is really important for us, this is a community resource. We need to have a vision that looks at how it's going to succeed to thrive in the next several generations, not just in terms of what we can get out of it now.
Those monthly BARCabouts are on the second Sunday, and it's a great way to get involved with BARC for the first time.
Well, thank you so much, Camilo and Tara, for being here. We've been speaking with Camilo and Tara, who are two volunteers with the nonprofit watchdog organization BARC. More information on BARC and their upcoming events at bark-out.org.
You're listening to the KBOO Evening News for Wednesday, February 5th, 2020. This is a volunteer-produced newscast, and we encourage your participation. Call us with your breaking news stories and tips at 503-231-8032. Our production team for tonight's newscast includes Dan Raphael. The producer is Nat Moon, and our engineer is Althea Billings. The director of Evening News is Althea Billings. Special thanks to Lily Bolke, Antonia Gonzalez, and Eric Tegedoff. A podcast of this newscast is available on our website at kboo.fm/eveningnews. You are listening to KBOO Portland on 90.7 FM, K282BH Philomath on 104.3 FM, and K220HR Hood River on 91.9 FM. I'm Erin J. Bernard.
And I'm Nat Moon. Coming up tomorrow morning on KBOO, at 8, it's Voices from the Edge, progressive talk radio from a grassroots perspective with your host, Joanne Hardesty. At 9, it's Press Watch, Teresa Mitchell's weekly look at the news you're not supposed to know. At 9:30, it's Fight the Empire, where host Perf Fagerang connects history with the latest world events. And at 10, it's Flashpoints with Dennis Bernstein. At 11, Between the Covers, where host David Naiman discusses Carmen Maria Machado's recent book In the Dream House. Then at 11:30, it's Black Book Talk, where your hosts Emma Jackson Ford, OB Hill, and Patricia Welch discuss Brown Sugar Babe by Charlotte Sherman. All of these KBOO programs are made possible by member support. If you'd like to become a member, go to kboo.fm or use our mobile app and click on donate. Coming up right now, it's news from the Boo.
And now it's time for News from the Boo, the weekly segment from people inside of and around KBOO with news from your community radio station.
good evening. You are tuned into News from the Boo here on KBOO Community Radio, where we talk about all things inside, outside KBOO, just anything related to KBOO. I'm your host, Jenna Yokoyama, one of your interim station co-managers. Thanks for tuning in. So tonight we're going to be talking about, of course, all of our upcoming trainings and meetings and, you know, all the good things that you want to know of how you get involved in your community radio station. But first, joining me in studio tonight is our interim program director, Asia. Welcome to your first News from the Boo, Asia. So if people are wondering who... What do you mean, interim program director? Well, our normal program director, Erin Yankee, she's on a three-month sabbatical. Mm-hmm. So Asia is very generously stepping in and helping to cover those duties for us. So Asia, you've been here at KBOO actually as a volunteer before. How long have you been at KBOO?
For 2 years. I think I started in January 2018.
And what have you been doing as like a volunteer?
A lot of stuff. I kind of just helped out in a lot of different departments. So I started out, I think, as like reporting, and I did anchoring for a while. I really liked helping with remotes, like the jazz festival and stuff.
Oh, so yeah.
And I like doing like live music in the studio, like for Grateful Dead and Friends. Let's see, kind of everywhere, tabling, stuff like that.
I see. One of those volunteers. You kind of like dip the toe.
Yeah.
I think you're like a classic KBOO volunteer, you know? And something I think is exciting, at least for me personally, is that the first time I was on staff here at KBOO was as the interim program director when Erin went on her last sabbatical.
That's crazy.
And I'm kind of seeing a little bit of a pattern of who is asked to help step in for these kind of jobs that have a lot bigger duties. People who are kind of like you and me. When I first came to KBOO, I too kind of dipped my toe in lots of places. So there's some encouragement for other volunteers if you want to kind of really get to know KBOO.
And it's exciting to see that your station manager right now, it's like I can see a pathway opening up. There's like after this job is a lot of options. It's really
cool.
Yeah,
sweet. You want to be boss next?
I don't know about that.
But we're really excited that you're here. So when was your first official day as the interim program director?
Yesterday. It was like my first legit day.
Wow. So how was that first day?
It was pretty crazy. A lot of emails. My first meeting was within the first 2 hours of being here, and I hadn't, you know, asking questions about the drive. I'm like, Erin set up everything for the drive, but she was so nice to do that. She made sure everyone was like ready to go. Bluegrass Marathon was set up. But I'm really excited to be like a part of the creation of the April drive.
Awesome. Well, yeah. So something Asia just mentioned is that we have an upcoming membership drive. We'll talk about more about that at the end of News from the Boo. So Asia, what is it that you do as the interim program director?
Okay, there's a lot of things. I got a big to-do list right now. I was just kind of listing it all out. So you get a lot of emails, people like needing help, just kind of directing them who to talk to and what's the next step.
Yeah, a lot of programmers.
Yeah.
Asking, a lot of music programmers talking to you.
Yeah, filling in, subbing, making sure you have a playlist ready in case, you know, someone doesn't show up and you can't get someone to fill in. Let's see. Preempting people, letting them know, kind of keeping people in, like, updated on what's going on, not letting the programmers be in the dark. Whew.
Oh, operator log. That's a
operator
big
log.
Oh,
and promos, making promos, and making sure they air when they're supposed to, making sure people know when the meetings are going to happen.
Yeah, if people don't know what an operating log is, when you know, everything is always on the schedule. And if you're just a listener, everything just sort of, you know, happens and you don't really necessarily realize what is all the mechanisms that keep everything on schedule. How do we know what promos get played? How do we know what underwriting gets played and all that stuff? So our program director is the one who coordinates all of that, schedules all of that, and every week has to make sure all those promos that you hear, you know, the KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor. Mm-hmm. Those are all coordinated and put together by our program director, now our interim program director. So
Yay.
You get the joy probably of making quite a few of our promos over the
next
few months.
Yeah, it's fun. It's fun. Sometimes I think I worry a little too much. But I want to make sure the wording's like perfect. I want to make sure that people are like, yeah, they understand what our event is. But it's fun.
Awesome. So thanks for helping our listeners know what's coming up, how they can support our community partners through co-sponsorships and stuff like that. And then another part of your job that you kind of mentioned was making sure that you're ready to be like the emergency fill-in, or making sure that, you know, we always have content on the air. What does that mean for people who don't know what that means to be an emergency fill-in?
So, like, if someone, like, say there's like a snow day and people can't get into the station, or any kind of emergency like that, I need to either have some people that I know can make it that are like near the station, or I need to make sure that I'm available during those hours just in case. And I need to have maybe like 2 hours of music, and it has to be for that program. So I need to be pretty diverse in the music that I'm listening to right now, make sure I'm collecting it constantly.
Right. That's kind of like a fun, challenging part, because you definitely probably have the music that you personally like. But I know that the first time I ever had to fill in for a genre that I had no real like knowledge in, I was slightly terrified, but then I was also like, wow, this is a lot of fun. Because I'm learning a lot about the genre that I didn't really know. And, you know, the listeners, they were so kind. They called in. They're like, we know that you're the emergency fill, and good for you.
Aww.
Even though that song is totally not of the exact genre, good, close enough. I was like, oh, thank you so much. So, yeah, it's kind of a stressful,
nice,
but a kind of exciting part, yeah,
expanding your horizon.
So something else that Aaron is in charge of here at KBOO is our youth collective.
Oh, yeah.
And so you'll be heading that up, right?
Yeah, yeah. Today would be my first day.
Ooh, fun times.
Yeah, they're fun.
Right?
There's a lot of bold personalities there.
And a ton of energy.
Yeah.
And it's just like they come into the station just, It's great. I hope you have a lot of fun with
them. Yeah, so today will be my first day. I've only had one day with them with Aaron, and that was the voting day, deciding on the themes for the next few months. So they were really, you know, energetic that day.
Oh, yeah. This is like a heavily discussed, like the youth collective, they're very serious about it. So I'm really glad, because they make great radio.
Yeah, it sounds like they picked out a lot of cool themes, so that's going to be really fun.
All right. Well, have fun working with them. So Aaron's on the sabbatical, so that means how long are you going to be our interim program director?
I believe Aaron returns on May 2nd, so I will be here for about 3 months.
All right, so you're basically like here for the spring.
Yeah.
That's really exciting. So, okay, so for the next few months while you are our Aaron, our program director, will you be also like teaching classes, doing trainings, that sort of thing too?
Definitely. We have some on logistics right now. We'll be doing once a month the FCC legal class. And then we are also looking, I know we have one, Sam Bowman will be teaching a field recording class this month. And we're going to schedule some more soon. So.
Okay, so class is still happening. So you're still having to like coordinate all that sort of stuff. Well, you have quite a lot on your docket for the next 3 months. So if anybody ever has questions, you know, anything that you would go and ask Aaron about or our program director, you can definitely still do that. Same phone number, same email address. What's your email address?
Program@kboo.org.
Pretty simple. Program@kboo.org. So whether you're a volunteer or you're a listener and you have any questions about programming, go ahead, email asia@program@kboo.org. And if you are a regular programmer here at KBOO, you'll still be getting the all programmer emails coming out once a month.
Yes, definitely. It was fun helping Aaron write the last one. I was a little bit nervous about it, but I'm feeling a lot better now that I'm more in the mix. I know what's going on, what to share with people. So
do you have any last-minute things that you just need to make sure to get out to our volunteers, any sort of asks that you need in the short term?
People should definitely make sure that they are signing up for at least one drive shift. I know that KBOO wants to start tracking you guys down. No. But we're looking for we only have 3 days in this upcoming drive, but really we need a lot of help for that spring drive.
So get on that logistics, everyone. Maybe you can go, you can always find that link to your VicNet account at kboo.fm/volunteer.
Yes.
Cool. Well, Asia, welcome to staff.
Yay.
Okay. Well, thank you so much for coming on News from the Boo.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
Well, now we're on the part of News from the Boo where we talk about classes and meetings that are coming up. I know that Asia touched upon classes a little bit. So coming up on Friday, this Friday, February 7th at 10:30 a.m. to 12:30, we have the interviewing technique. Let me try that one again. The interviewing techniques class. Hopefully that's how you had to articulate a little bit better than I just did there. So again, that's Friday, February 7th at 10:30 a.m. Then we have a news and public affairs orientation. So if you are a volunteer who maybe isn't involved right now with the news or public affairs and you want to learn more about what it is to either be involved in the newsroom or what it is to do a public affairs program, then this is the class for you. That's happening on Tuesday, February 11th from 5 to 6 p.m. Again, that's Tuesday, February 11th from 5 to 6 p.m. And you can always sign up for the classes on your VicNet account if you are a volunteer here at KBOO. And the easy link to get to that is to go to kboo.fm/volunteer. Okay, then we got board op training. Ooh, one of my favorites. I'm always a board op at heart. I always think of myself as. Friday, February 7th from 4 to 6 p.m. That's being taught by Ray Bodwell in the air room. You do need to have some prereqs, which include having taken the intro to audio class. You need to know the basics of how to use the board. So if you have that under your belt, then go ahead, sign up for that board op training class. A lot of fun. It's always kind of the first step of learning how to have your own show or how to become a music DJ here at KBOO. So go ahead, sign up for that on the VicNet. Those are our immediate trainings that are coming up. Then for all you fans of meetings and committees, we got some for you. So coming up on Monday, February 24th is our monthly board meeting. That's always here at KBOO Community Radio, 20 Southeast 8th Avenue. That's happening from 6 to 8 p.m. That's always open to the public, so come on down. Come say hi to the board. Then we have tomorrow evening, Thursday, February 6th, from 7 to 9 p.m. is the regular engineering committee meeting. So if you are wanting to have some input or even learn more about what engineering at KBOO does, that's a good meeting to show up to. That's Thursday, February 6th from 7 to 9, and they always meet on the first Thursday. Then we have our finance committee for all you people who say, yes, I love me some spreadsheets. You know what I love? When I wake up in the morning, I think, man, how can I just like look at a profit and loss sheet? Well, if that's you, then guess what? The finance committee is for you. The next finance committee meeting is Thursday, February 20th. That's from 4:30 to 6 p.m. also here at KBOO. So if you have any questions about any of these committees, then you can always email me, which is manager@kboo.org. Or guess what? You can always go on to our website, which is even more helpful because that actually has all the info right there, so you don't need to email me and ask me this stuff. You can just go on to kboo.fm and you'll hear all the info, or you'll read all the info there about meetings as well as about upcoming trainings. And so I'm going to make sure they reemphasize certain things. Asia wanted to remind us that if you are a volunteer, you're one of those people who likes to answer phones or do the shift supervising for our drives or some of the pitching, go on to your VicNet right now because we are taking signups for our next membership drive, which is just a really quick 3-day drive. But we always need all hands on deck. We need all of you volunteers to come down to the station and, you know, hang out. This is the time where we all hang out. We share food. We get to say hi to one another and do the drive thing that we like to do. So go ahead, sign up on your VicNet accounts because we really need you. Again, that's kboo.fm/volunteer for that quick link to your VicNet. And then other kind of call-outs for volunteers. We need people to submit some program proposals because we got some openings right now in the programming schedule. So if you are a music DJ and you're looking to take on a set, go ahead, go on to kboo.fm and look up that program proposal and go ahead, submit something. We're also got some openings for talk radio show hosts. So if you are one of those people who like the morning talk radio and you've got some opinions and hey, and you want to be on the other side instead of the listener, you want to be on the mic, then take a look also again at our program proposals. Or if you have questions, then you can go ahead and email our public affairs director if you're wanting to do a talk show. If you have any questions, that's publicaffairs@kboo.org. If you are a potential music programmer and you have questions, then go ahead and email our program director at program@kboo.org. We're all out of time as usual, so thank you so much for tuning in. Go onto our website, kboo.fm, find out all the things and the ways you can get involved in your community radio station. So I'll be talking to you next week. again here on News from the Boo. I've been your host, Jenna Yokoyama. Thank you so much for tuning in.
You are listening to KBOO Portland. The time is 5:59. Coming up next is Rising Up with Sonali. KBOO's news and public affairs programs are fueled by our volunteers, and we are always looking for more people to get involved. On Tuesday, February 11th, from 5 to 6 p.m., we will be holding a news and public affairs orientation. This training will offer a crash course in news production and public affairs. In just an hour, we will cover our philosophy, our expectations, how it all comes together, and how you can get started with us. Again, that's the News and Public Affairs Orientation on Tuesday, February 11th from 5 to 6 p.m. at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue in Portland. Sign up on VicNet or email newsdirector@kvu.org to get registered. See you there. KBOO Community Radio is working with Beautiful Portland to collect socks and blankets for those who are sleeping outside this winter. There is a collection box in the lobby of KBOO Radio, 20 Southeast 8th Avenue in Portland, between Burnside and Ankeny. Donations are accepted Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m.
From KPFK Pacifica Radio in Los Angeles, this is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com. In today's news headlines, the U.S. Senate on Wednesday afternoon voted to acquit President Donald Trump of the two articles of impeachment passed by the House. Republicans